भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 29th चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड टॉक्स बिटवीन नारद एंड किंग प्रचनी बरही टेक्स्ट नंबर 52। नारद उवाच प्रश्न एवं संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषार्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामय सुनिश्चितम्। नारद उवाच प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामय सुनिश्चितम्। नारद उवाच प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामय सुनिश्चितम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The great saint Narad continued, "O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential." Purport: Shri Narad Muni is personally acting as the spiritual master of King Barhishman. It was Narad Muni's intention that through his instructions, the king would immediately give up all engagement in fruitive activity and take to devotional service. However, although the king understood everything, he was still not prepared to give up his engagements. As the following verses will show, the king was contemplating sending for his sons, who were away from home, executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust his kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. They accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him. But when the spiritual master indicates that they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of spiritual master is to instruct a disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruitive activity, is not at all beneficial. Actually, one should take to devotional service from the beginning of life. As Prahlad Maharaj advised, Komaram Acharet Pradnyo Dharman Bhagavatam Iha. According to all the instructions of the Vedas, we can understand that unless one takes to Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is simply wasting his time engaging in fruitive activities of material existence. Narad Muni therefore decided to relate another allegory to the king, so that he might be induced to give up family life within material existence. Continuing with our narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, since long time we have been hearing the talks between Narad Muni and Prachani Bharishad, and we also heard how expertly Narad Muni initially told an allegorical story to convince this Prachani Bharishad about giving up materialistic way of life and fully taking the shelter of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. And at this point, when the story has been finished, Narad Muni is observing that although I have told everything, so he is telling, I have replied properly about all that you asked me, but still Narad Muni is seeing The full effect has not taken place. That King Prachini Parishad is still not giving up his matrishik way of life, his karma kanda. He is still thinking there is some more time. Let my children come back from austerities and I will hand over my kingdom to them and maybe afterwards I will give up my kingdom. So Narad Muni not achieving the desired, he is very merciful, also forceful. Once our Jagannath Prabhu was distributing books, so one man objected to him. He said, why are you so pushy? So Jagannath Prabhu said, why are you so rushy? So because he is rushing away from the mercy, so the devotees have to push the mercy. So that's the logic. Narad Muni is seeing that although I have told him everything, but still he is not accepting the things properly. So he is not ready to take the full benefit. So I have to still push him. Srila Prabhupada says that is our mission. I am pushing you, you push others, and it is like a train. The engine moves and all the bogies are moving behind them. So in a similar way, Narad Muni is, although he has told that I have answered everything properly, but before king speaks something, he himself said, but now hear of one more narration, which is accepted by all the saintly persons, and then he is saying it is very confidential. If we see, Narad Muni doesn't tell any big narration, he just tells some simple facts which he has already told, but to get the attention of the king, it is very confidential and accepted by all the saintly persons. So here we see in this verse, especially in this modern age of Kali, the people are very much addicted to this illusory material world. This material world is already an illusion, as Prabhupada used to say. We are having two dreams, night dream and day dream. Some dreams we have in the night time, where we think I am a king, I am a queen, or something like that. And some dreams you have in the daytime, where we think I am a king, I am a queen. But both are actually dreams. Because from the spiritual point of view, both the facts, whether in the mind you think you are a king, or whether you think this body is a king, are both away from the truth. That is, you are the souls, servant of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So in this material world which we see is already an illusion, is like a dream, is already not the facts. And people in Kali Yuga especially want to enter more into this illusion. They are already illusion. These are one of the four defects. And by this modern way of life, people want to enter more illusion. I was reading one book, in it was mentioned, by the advancement of technology, people are being separated from the facts more and more, from the facts of material nature. Like in America it is said that nobody sees a dead body or nobody sees a stool as in the toilet, because it is so natural. As soon as they pass it, the water is flowing, it just cleans it up. Dead bodies are like very nicely hidden and packed in a coffin, decorated. See, it's an illusion that we are taking birth, we are dying. In the sense, bodies are happening, it's a fact, but this is not connected with the soul. And within that, they are trying to create more illusion. As I was hearing, that in 1950s, in the US, they made big interstate highways, like they are making in India now, express highways. The man was just noting, he was just giving this one gross example. Let's see how by this technological development, we go away from the material facts, the physical facts around us more and more. He says initially the highways were slow, there would be some traffic, but people could feel the air, the land, everything while traveling. And this is a fact corroborated. A few days back, when we were traveling on this big express highway, everything becomes monotonous. You are just looking the same vision always in front of you. You are just looking the three roads in front of you moving. Nothing else. You just can't feel the air because all the windows are closed because of high speed. You can't see anything else because it's so far off. The rivers are nicely packed below the bridges. You can't hear their sound. So he says then after this expressways came, and then we have trains and motor car, then aeroplanes, which remove us from the nature or the facts of the material world more and more. In a similar way, this was done by President Gore, whose son was standing for election last time. So he said, this son is promising highways in the cyberspace, which will take you away from the facts more and more. And he was telling, just like in the previously, people would like to, although this is whole in the illusion, but still like to have some aquarium in their house, some dogs, something. He said, now everything is becoming stimulated or generated on the your computer screen. They have, for example, he quoted, they have got a software which makes you feel that your computer screen has an aquarium, the fishes are swimming, and if you tap on the screen which are sensitive, the fishes move away, like we do on the mirror. And by pressing some buttons, you can feed the fishes. As soon as you put some food, the fishes will go and eat it. So it's already an illusion of having an aquarium in this material world. You are thinking you are a controller. And this is more illusion because you are not having an aquarium and thinking that you are having all these noise. The fishes will reproduce also in the aquarium, on your computer screen. So in this way we see, this modern world is already an illusion. People are dealing with unreality. And within that, just like with the computers, they get some sounds, they feel, oh, so nice, something. Odors are, as the latest technology is coming, they create odors, whatever you want. They create sounds, they create everything. But they cannot create humanity. So in this way we see, the point which we are making, is that already we are in the world of illusion. And this modern technology, advancement of Kali Yuga, is taking us more and more away. At least previously we were feeding real fish and giving some real food. But now we are just getting satisfaction by pressing some button and then some food falls in the screen. And the fishes jump to eat it. Which is nothing but happening on something on the screen. People are going more and more away from illusion. They are not satisfied, but therefore they are frustrated. In Tokyo, I know, because they can't see the natural sky in the night. On the ceilings, they put up dark blue colored paper and some stars. But that will not give satisfaction. Because already this world is a world of illusion. Just like a small boy. A small boy, he likes to play with toys. He gets some toys, plays with it. But because anyway, it's like nothing substance to the soul. The boy plays and then he says, no, I don't want this toy. Then I want that toy. Then I don't want that toy. He wants to keep on changing. Similar in the material world, we see people are jumping. Sometimes they are going to some place. They say, no, this is boring. No, they are going to different hotel to eat. And then some other place to have some other enjoyment, some gambling, some sex life. And then it becomes boring, they give it up. Again, after some time, they take it. Again, it becomes boring, again, they give it up. This is happening in the material world because this material world is in a dream state. And the real facts of the life people don't know is that we are the souls, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalyor, Das Dasanu Das. So forgetting or being away from this real facts of the life, people are dancing or running so much in this world and getting more and more into illusions of money in the banks and so many things in this world. Everything, nothing in the facts in the hand. Everything is only numbers in the computer. That is what is happening in the present day. Your money is in the numbers. You pay in the numbers. Press a button and some money is paid. You press a button, you receive some money. Prabhupada said, when I was small boy, I remember, if I go to bank, the cashier would ask, you want gold coins or silver coins or the what we call it paper currency. Something was there. And then we can say, okay, I want gold coins or I want silver coins, which has some value. Now there is no value. Just press the button, you can say, oh, I got $10,000. And then I pay $10,000, $5,000. So this world, which is already illusory, people are going into more illusion. And even though they may be getting some modern amenities for comfort, but their mental happiness and peace is equally running away. So, what's happening? So, this king Prachani Parishad is also equally entangled completely in his illusory activities of animistic sacrifice, animal sacrifices and karma kanda. And Narad Muni at one shot wants to deliver him completely. He doesn't want to do half job. Like he advised that Mugari, don't kill the animals half. Similarly, he doesn't want to give some spiritual knowledge to king and then go away. He wants to see that his disciple, as it is said, Narad Muni is now personally acting as a spiritual master of the king Bharishma. Narad Muni wants to see the king is fully delivered from the illusion. Illusion of this material world. And he accepts the truth and completely engages in serving the Supreme Lord. Even Lord Chaitanya, he has appeared for that. As that verse goes, Tektva Sudustajya, what is Tektva Sudustajya? Surepsita Raja Lakshmi. And then Maya Murgam. Maya Murgam Daipisita Anvadhavat. That Maya Murgam means illusion. Lord Chaitanya, all the people in this world are running behind illusion. Like that Mirage, Maya Murgam. And they are running after something which doesn't exist. And Lord Chaitanya is running after them. To catch them and give them the spiritual Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada also once asked, that you are a Swami and you are famous as Jet Age Swami. Why do you travel in aeroplanes? You should be renounced, you should be moving around, walking or something like that. But Srila Prabhupada, he said, because you are going to hell in the speed of jets, I have to travel in supersonic jets to catch you. Because if I travel at slow speed, you will already go to hell. Then how can I save you? In a similar way, we see Lord Chaitanya. He went all around the world. In South India, he took his yatra to Vrindavan, Jharekhand, so many places. He took the trouble of walking all the, over South India for 2 years. And then once to Ramkeli and so many times, East Bengal, he went to meet Tapan Mishra. So much efforts, he went here and there. And Narad Muni is already traveling all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada is already following his footsteps. Why? To catch the souls who are diving deeply more and more into the illusion and save them. That is the duty. Here, as Srila Prabhupada says, what happens is, as this king is doing, although he has heard the instructions of his spiritual master, and it was very clear that he has to give up all the activities and surrender to Krishna fully. But the king is hesitant. He doesn't want to give up. Actually, if we see, the Vedic culture is very scientific. If perfectly done, and you cannot avoid it. Just like we say, Chaturvarnam Maya Shushtam, Guna Karma Vivagasha. These four, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, has been created by Krishna, and no part in this, no country in this world has been able to do away with it. Although it is happening in perverted way. In any part of the world, there are intelligent class. Any part of the world, there are military men and policemen. Any part of the world, there are businessmen and then employees. In a similar way, this Varnashram system is very perfect, scientific, civilized way of human society. But the modern day people, they don't believe it. They don't want to first undergo Brahmachari training, and then Grihastha Ashram, and then Vanprastha Ashram, and then Sannyas Ashram. They just want to enjoy till the fag end of their life. The Varnashram system, which is scientific states, first you undergo training, then if you want you to accept Grihastha Ashram, then at a certain age of life, which is around 50, it is mentioned, as this king Parachami Parishad, Narmi wanted to give him up everything. But he was thinking some cause, maybe my sons are meditating in the kingdom, in the forest, let me call them back. Then when they come back, I will train them and I will hand over the kingdom to them. And then maybe I will take full shelter of Krishna. But Narad Muni did not want such a big delay. He said, as Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury the dead. Let somebody take care of the kingdom. You don't worry to call your sons back. Anyway, they will come back and take the kingdom. But you take to spiritual life completely and immediately. This is Varnashram. You take some, become Grihastha, and then you have to become vanprastha. At certain point of life, every human being has to give up his material engagement. It's a scientific way. For certain stage, you did some job, business, that's okay. But at some point in the life, you have to give it up completely and engage in Krishna consciousness. You may stay at home or some ashram, but you have to engage in chanting and hearing about Krishna 24 hours a day. For example, His Holiness Jayadrith Maharaj, he was speaking this in Belgaum. He was saying that even in spiritual life, sometimes we should hand over the responsibilities at a certain age to the newer devotees. And at a certain age, we should just think of hearing, chanting and preaching. But then he reflected, he said, after the lecture I thought, I am much above 50 years of age and still I am holding the position of BTG editor. So next, immediately he went to US and handed over the responsibility to Nagaraj Prabhu. And now he is still practicing spiritual life. But he said, I spoke that. But then I thought, oh, I am myself not practicing it. So, in a certain stage, managed to give up his engagements. And in this Kali Yuga, we see, if they don't follow this scientific system, people want to hold on to their business, home, control over their home, but then material nature will do its activity. The parents don't want to leave the home, but in Kali Yuga, we see the children say, parents, you go out. Huh? If we have to voluntarily leave the home, or the children will drive us away from the home. Or even if they keep us, they will keep us not in a good position. So as Chanakya Pandit says, San Nimitte Varan Tyago, Vinashe Niyatam Sati. Chanakya Pandit says, better to give up our life and money for some good cause. San Nimitte. Or anyway it's going to be taken away. So better to follow the science. Although we may feel, my children are inexperienced, they may not do the business or job nicely, but they will learn. Now you have done your responsibility. At one point, everyone has to, he should determine, at one point in my life, I have to take 24 hours to hearing and chanting. That is the aim of human life. And not to, even great devotees in our history we see, even Pandavas, they ruled the kingdom for Krishna. Not that they did not, that was spiritual life, that was devotional service. But even they gave up their kingdom at one point. And went to the north. Himalaya. So many. Even King Muchakunda. Everyone we see. Even for that sake. Vidura came to meet Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra in a very similar way. Was trying to hold on to his kingdom. Some palace. Some control. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a great devotee. So he was very generously and nicely keeping Dhritarashtra home. Not like Kali Yuga children's. But still, although Dhritarashtra has tried to kill Pandavas, but Vidura did not like that. He said, no, Dhritarashtra has come of his age. He should not stick to the palace and comfortable life. So he came and spoke very hard words to Dhritarashtra to shake him up. Sometimes we see in the spiritual life we get some great shocks in material world and then people take to spiritual life more seriously. Sometimes when we travel, people ask us, "Aapke jinne ka kuch durghatna ghati ki abhi aap pura ghar chhodke aa gaye." But then we have to take every, either there is some shock or some incidents or no incidents. One has to take, to completely the chanting and hearing of Krishna's holy names and pastime. So here, Narad Muni, he is not satisfied. He says, oh, he wants to immediately give this, spiritual life to King Prachandi Parishad. And what is the best way of advancing in spiritual life? Hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. Especially in this age of Kali and always. Shravanam Kirtanam. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam so many places it has come. That just by hearing and chanting the names of Lord, one can be delivered by the effects of time. Otherwise, as in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 10th canto, 51 chapter, King Muchakunda, he prays, he says to the King, to the Lord Krishna, Kalo Baliyan Balinam, Bhagavan Ishwara Avyaya, Praja Kala Yate Kidan, Pashupalo yatha pashun. That he said, O Supreme Lord, we are all prajas of the Supreme Lord. You control all the living entities within this world by the instrument of time. Kalo, Balian, time is very powerful. Inexhaustible time, stronger than the strongest, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Like a herdsman moving his animals along the way, the Supreme Lord, with the help of time, moves all the mortal creature as his pastime. So we see in this world, everyone is completely controlled by this time. And just like the herdsman, we see sometimes just ship's man, they are moving. And one ship goes ahead and all the ships follow him in this world. The one man goes ahead, he does something, and all the other people blindly follow him. And the Lord is controlling everyone and takes him ultimately to the death. The King Muchakunda prayer, that's what the Lord is controlling. But if somebody wants to get free from these effects of time, then hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord is the best and the most powerful way. Sometimes we may desire to meet the Supreme Lord, but we cannot see the Supreme Lord. But we see in the past, many devotees, just by hearing and chanting, has achieved, without even meeting the Lord personally, has achieved pure devotion. And the greatest and the most wonderful example is the Brahman Patnis in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We know that in this case of Lord Krishna begging from the Brahmanas, first his boyfriends, cowherd boys, went to beg from Brahmanas some food, but they rejected. And then they went to the queens of Brahmanas, wives of Brahmanas. And the Brahman Patnis, the Dvija Patnis, immediately offered everything. So, about that, in Srimad Bhagavatam, our Acharya's comment, 2 points. Krishna himself is telling. He tells the Brahman Patnis, Dvija Patnis, that it is by hearing about me, and seeing my deity form, and chanting my names, and my glories, that love for me develops, and not by physical proximity. Krishna himself is telling. Shravanat, darshanat, dhyanat, mai bhavonu kirtanat, na tatha sanni karshane, pratiyat tato gruhan. Na tatha sanni karshane, by physical proximity. Krishna is telling, it is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me and chanting my names and glories, that love for me develops, and not by physical proximity. Because even so many asuras and Duryodhan were physically very close to Krishna, but they did not develop love of Godhead. And therefore he is suggesting the wives of Brahmanas, therefore please go back to your homes. And our Acharya's comments in another place, according to Sridhar Swamis, the husbands, they were astonished. They were thinking, our wives never saw Krishna. They never even had physical darshan of Krishna. Then how did they develop such advanced stages of love of Krishna? And Sridhar Swami comments that the husbands of the Dvija Patnis were not aware that their wives were meeting regularly to the ladies of Vrindavan, like who would sell flowers and butter. When these ladies would come along the way to Mathura, these wives of Brahmanas would regularly talk with them. And these ladies of Vraj would regularly discuss the beauty of Krishna, the activities of Krishna. And just by hearing from these ladies who were walking from Vrindavan and other parts of Vraj to Mathura and meeting with them, the wives of Brahmanas have completely developed pure love for Krishna. So these Brahmanas, being unaware of this fact, they were astonished at their wives' loving devotion for Krishna, not realizing that this devotion has developed because of hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna amongst themselves. This is the way the pure devotees associate with the Lord, or Sridhar Swami comments. So we see in this way that the best way to develop love for Krishna is by hearing and chanting. To corroborate this point, very nicely in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where which chapter is entitled Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. In that, Lord thoroughly describes about devotional service in practice, the pure devotion, devotion in sadhana, then donating something, and then things like that, meditation, knowledge. And then in the text number 13 to 19, the Lord describes the qualities of devotees. For example, he says, Yasmin no dvijate loko, lokad no dvijate chaya. He doesn't put others into difficulty, he is equipoised, he is free from fear, anxiety. He neither rejoices, who neither laments, who is not dependent on ordinary course of activities, who is free from cares and pains. After describing all these qualities, which are the qualities of a pure devotee, shama shatro cha mitre cha tatha mana pamanayo, ashito cha sukha dukkesho. In the last verse of this 12th chapter, Lord Shri Krishna tells, but, he uses the word tu, but, yetu dharmam amrutam idam, yathoktam paryupasate, shaddhadhana mata parama, bhaktasteva ativa priya. He says, but, those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service, who are completely engaged themselves with faith, making with the supreme goal, are, in other verses he says, sa chame priya, they are dear to me. In his last verse he says, those who practice devotional service, bhaktosti te ativa me priya. Krishna is saying, ativa. Those who have developed these good qualities are dear to me. But those who practice devotional service are ati, very very dear to me. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains why it is like this. He says, because the devotees naturally develop these good qualities of being equipoised, free from pain, manapmanayo, and all these things, doesn't put others into difficulty and things like that. He says, the previous qualities which are mentioned are qualities of pure devotees. Pure devotees have those qualities. But somebody who is a transcendentalist but not a pure devotee may get perfection only few of those qualities. And he is also dear to Krishna. He may get perfection in few of the qualities mentioned in the previous verses. And he is also dear to Krishna. But a pure devotee, he doesn't try to get perfection only in some branches of spiritual aspects. But he tries to get perfection, complete perfection. By practicing devotional service, he develops all the good qualities of a human being. And therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says, therefore, Lord is saying, he is ativa priya. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes a point that even a sadhana bhakti in a spiritual, in bhakti yoga, is much more dear to Krishna than who have perfected their lives in other branches. Krishna is stating here that one who practices a bhakti just by remembering me with full faith is very very dear to me. Why? Vishwanath Thakur explains, because he is attempting for full perfection, and others may be perfect but they are perfect only in few branches of transcendentalism. And therefore Krishna explicitly states, after describing all the qualities in this text 20, that those who are practicing devotional service, they are very very dear to me. And how does this sadhana bhakti helps one to develop a pure Krishna consciousness? That is stated by Srimad Bhagavatam in the prayers by personified Vedas. In this chapter, which is appears to be technical and very boring, but this chapter, if read and studied very nicely, gives many wonderful points about spiritual life. And in that, in the prayers of personified Vedas, in the beginning the Shrutis are praying to the Supreme Lord. And in that purport, Udayananda Goswami Maharaj, he tells, the Vedas, they declare about the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. So all intelligent human beings should take shelter of the Supreme Lord and worship Him with devotion. By worshipping with Him devotion and hearing and chanting, what happens? They loosen their material bondage and they loosen the bondage of other human beings. In this way, they advance gradually where they are completely free from material entanglement. And they are completely convinced to give up the troublesome path of karma, jnana and yoga. Narada Muni is trying. That this king is still attached. But he should give up. He should give up karma. He should give up jnana. He should give up yoga and take to full Krishna consciousness. So by hearing and chanting of Krishna regularly, a devotee is free from all material entanglement. And then he advances. Then Shrutis say, beyond those devotees are the mature devotees who are called Suris, or Hiranyakasipu Goswami puts it, conizers of the spiritual truth. Who honor the nectar, the practicing devotee, they honor the nectarian ocean of chanting and hearing by diving into the ocean. They dive into the ocean of hearing Shravanam Kirtanam. But those who are Suris or conizers of supreme truth, then honor the nectarian ocean of Supreme Lord's glories by immersing themselves fully within it. These mature devotees of the Supreme Lord, the Lord state, the Shruti state, achieve unimaginable perfection. The Lord reciprocates with them, and their sincere endeavors empowers them to realize the Supreme Lord in personal form. And the personal form of the Lord is therefore realized only by Bhakti Yoga. And the Lord empowers them. Somebody may ask, how does Lord empower? We are having that doubt was asked in the beginning of this personified Vedas. It is asked, the Vedas are ultimately words. Words is sound, a material quality. How can sound describe the Supreme Lord? Whatever it may be, Vedas coming from the Supreme Lord, it is ultimately material quality. How can the sound describe the Supreme Lord who is transcendental? The answer is given by the Shrutis themselves. They say the sound is transcendental, sound is material, we accept. But just the answer is given in Parokshavad. So Shruti, the Sukhdeva Goswami answers that does you not hear Maharaj Parikshit? The question is asked, how can the Vedas describe Krishna who is transcendental and material sound? Sukhdeva Goswami answers just like you can hear my sound. So it is unclear. But Sukhdeva Goswami is very clear in his answers. He says, just like Krishna has empowered all of us, he has given us this sense of ear to hear. Otherwise, the sounds in the ear will make no sense to us. He has given us eyes to see. Otherwise, the rays in the air will make no sense to us. He has given us taste, tongue to taste. Otherwise, the various tastes will make, they will be formless. Now we see form. Now we hear some form. Now we can taste something. Because these senses have been given to us by the Supreme Lord. And the ability has been given by the Supreme Lord so that we can understand this sound, taste, which are actually, which would have been beyond conception and formless to us if we did not have these senses. So Sukhdeva Goswami says, similarly, through the sound, Lord can work inconceivably and give you the understanding to understand indescribable Lord, described in the Vedas. Just like he says, the Lord empowers those advanced devotees to realize his personal form. And then, remembering in rapture, the Lord's intimate pastime and entourage, they're automatically freed from the last traces of mental contamination and from the sensitivity to unavoidable pains of disease and old age. The devotees become completely raptured in hearing and chanting. That is the very highest state. And they are therefore completely free from whatever little traces of material attachment remain in them and sensitivity towards pain and disease and old age. So in this way, we see, we heard how by this world is an illusion and we have to give it up. And Bhakti Yoga is the best process to practice it. And by practicing Bhakti Yoga, the Lord helps one to reach the highest stage of spiritual perfection. But still one doubt remains. And in this fallen age of Kali, is all these things possible to me? Me or human beings in general, do they have any hope? So, although Srila Vishwanatha Thakur is a very advanced devotee, but while beginning to comment on this chapter of prayers by personified Vedas, he had his own invocation. And the first verse of the invocation is very wonderful. He says, even though I am unqualified to speak about this chapter of prayer by personified Vedas, but still I am trying. And for that, the saints or the advanced yogis may laugh at me. He says, Mama ratna vanik bhavan, ratnani api aparichintayan. I am trying to become a jewel merchant. Mama ratna vanik bhavan. But ratnani api aparichintayan. But I don't know anything about the jewels. And therefore, hasanto santo jirremi. The saints may laugh at me and my attempt. He's saying that commenting on this chapter, prayers by personified Vedas, is like becoming a jewel merchant, not knowing anything of the jewels. So although my attempts are like becoming jewel merchant without knowing anything of jewels, to comment on this chapter, hasanto santo jirremi, the saints will laugh at me that he doesn't know anything of spiritual life and commenting on chapter of 87th chapter of 10th canto. Nasva santa vinodokrut. But I don't mind. At least I will cause of some amusement for the saints. He doesn't mind. He says, I am trying to comment following the footsteps of previous acharyas. At least I will be of some use. My comments may not be useful, but at least I will become amusement for the advanced devotees. So in this way, this is the mood. Vishwanatha Thakur is an advanced devotee, but this is the mood. Although trying to achieve perfection in Kali Yuga is like a dwarf touching a moon, which is an impossible task. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he says, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari, Bolone Bolone Vadana Bhari. Just chant loudly, Vadana Bhari means that full. Just fill your mouth and with full voice, chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Although it's like draft touching the moon, or it's like a comedial attempt to perfect spiritual life in age of Kali, but still, we don't care, at least we endeavor. And then we expect Krishna's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Lord Nitya's mercy, and rest is on them, we endeavor. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Govind Prabhu has one comment. Okay, time we have. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.